The Introvert's Edge podcast was designed to create a dialogue around introversion, to stimulate a discussion around our disadvantages, how we overcome those disadvantages, and what we consider our introvert's edge. Together, we're finally going to confront the stigma around introversion, showing that we're not second-class citizens, we're just different, and we need to embrace that. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Introvert's Edge podcast. And I'm ecstatic to welcome our next guest, Jerry Bingham, who not only is an adjunct professor at Northwestern, she's a radio host, she's a TV host, she's worked in government, in universities, in colleges. If anyone's going to give us a great understanding of how introversion affects you, no matter what career path you're in, it's Jerry. And not only does she talk about introversion, what really excites me about what Jerry's going to share with you is she talks about inclusion in general and how personality fits bang inside that. So enough of me telling you about what she's going to share. Let's get straight into the content. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me. So happy to be here.
I'm ecstatic to have you with us. And I was really interested as I'd gone through some of your podcasts in the past and also checking out that you founded Black Introverts Week and really realizing that what you talk about, it's really interesting because you're kind of blending the topic of introversion and personality into the whole equality conversation. What drove you to do that? And why do you think it's so important that people see introversion as part of the general inclusion conversation in general?
I think it's so important, especially since there's so much attention, resources, strategies that are being tied to diversity, equity, inclusion, belonging right now, as companies understand why they need to be supportive of their employees in different ways. Diversity is about our differences, but it's also about our commonalities and how we celebrate and support each other. And as everyone's talking about how we're different, personality type rolls right in there. And as a person who's been misunderstood for all of her life, and that's just in feeling as I didn't fit in and feeling like I'm a weirdo and feeling like something was wrong with me, I'm on a mission now to educate the world about introversion and why we're special and why we're just as good, if not better, in certain areas than our counterparts, extroverts. We all know that we live in a world that celebrates and rewards extroversion. What about the other half of the world? And I'm talking about this specifically to companies and colleges and universities, because if you think about it, the experts say 50% of the world is introverted. That number has changed. I know years ago people were saying it was 1/3. The latest statistics from the Myers-Briggs company in 2020 was that it's 57% of the world is introverted. But knowing that, or assuming that half of your team, half of your company is introverted, and you're only paying attention to the extroverts, think about what you're losing out on. Think about how this could impact your bottom line. If you're only creating a space and an environment that rewards one type but not the other, that means the other type is just showing up, just maybe doing the minimum, just doing whatever to get by. But what if you could create a space that empowers them and makes them, gives them what they need to succeed, to thrive? Then that can impact your company's bottom line. So it's like you're paying 100%, but you're only getting something from half. And so it's important to talk about introversion in that way. And as I've been talking and on this mission about introversion, there had been all of these things that I've experienced as a Black woman and being an introvert. So that intersectionality. And I was talking to people, and then other people would say, wait a minute, this has happened to me. And I realize it's not just me. I realize that it's a thing. And as I talk to my Latina sisters and my gay brothers and sisters, I've heard amazing stories about how when your introversion is tied to being a Black woman, all of those additional stereotypes come in. So we're already dealing with the stigma of introversion. You're quiet, you're a hermit, you may not be as smart, you aren't social, you don't like people, you don't leave the house. We deal with that first. And then on top of that, if you're a Black woman, you may also deal with the stereotypes of what a Black woman historically has been seen in the media. And when you see a Black woman in the media, and I'm talking about television shows, even from the 70s, 80s, she may be that drill sergeant who gets everybody in line, or she may be highly comedic and just hilarious, or she may be overly nurturing, the mother, the person who took care of everyone in the house. And when I show up and I'm not animated, I may not wear all of my feelings on my sleeves. In my office, I don't really tell you who I am. People have their families and all that. I don't really do that. And so you're left to figure me out. And the way that you figure me out is you think about your image of the Black woman. And so when I may be quieter or just not talking as much, there may be this assumption, oh, she's mean. And the reason I've gotten to this is because I've heard it a million times at almost every job I've started. People will tell me a month later, I used to think you were mean. And I would say, mean? I'm so soft and nice. So that mean confuses me. And then I'll always ask, well, why mean? And no one can articulate it. They'll say, I don't know, I just thought that.
They're projecting it. They're projecting it.
That's... And I think it's based on the stereotypes of what they think of a Black woman. And I have a friend, a Latina, who said she gets the same thing. She said that people are looking for the over-sexualized, sassy, fast-talking Latina woman that they've seen on TV. And when she comes in and her demeanor is more quiet and more low-key, it's like she said, not only she can tell they're confused, but she said she also thinks that they may be disappointed. Like, we hired the hot, spicy Latina, which we thought we were going to get, and we didn't get that. And what this leads to is it's not just a feeling of discomfort, but think about how you may not want to pick me for a key assignment. You may not want to give me a bonus. You may think she's not acting like I expect her to act, so I don't know if we made the right decision. Is she the right hire? And this now causes an additional issue where I could be discriminated against in that way. We don't want to include Jerry. She doesn't say enough, or we don't know, or she's mean. And all of this comes from, I think, just a misunderstanding. And so that's why I talk not only about introversion and inclusivity for the introvert, but also our other identities. So these other marginalized groups. Same thing for my gay friends. So I have a gay male friend who's 6'4". So he's a little sort of domineering, and he's just a tall guy. And he has talked with me about how when he comes into a company and when people figure out that he's gay, whether it's what he shares or what they think they know, he said, as a Black male, I have to be friendly because of all the stereotypes of the Black man, and many people are afraid of the image of the Black man. So he said, I have to be friendly, even when I don't want to be, when I don't feel it, I have to be. But once they find out I'm gay, I can't be too friendly, because then that is, what is this guy trying to do? Is this guy trying to hit on me? And because he's not outward, he's not living his life out loud, they can't read him. And so this is what they create in their minds, and it could be held against you. And I think this goes on and on with anyone who is belonging to a marginalized group and may be introverted as well.
So I think this is really interesting, because I think what you've just highlighted is this is a bit of a tangled mess. And
yes.
When I look at it, It's so I will tell you, I was on in the UK, a podcast about neurodivergence, and they were talking about that. And there's a whole other tangled mess over there. And they were talking about a lot of neurodivergency, like it's a disadvantage. I'm like, that's the same thing I see in introversion. Why do we talk about it as a disadvantage? There's some real advantages to it as well. But there were some issues with all of people's understandings of what introversion was, what these neurodivergent issues were, and what the gender diversity issues also were. And I think that it really comes down to the fact that a lot of people don't actually even understand what introversion is. And it was interesting. I had Meredith Arthur, who is the chief of staff of one of the larger divisions at Pinterest, and she's written a book that's all around not overcomplicating things. And she had always felt that she dealt with chronic anxiety. And because of that, she speaks to that a lot. And then I started to help her. We kind of had a conversation. I said, maybe a lot of this is because you're introverted. She thought she was extroverted. And it came up in the conversation that she pushes herself to do all these things. She aspires to be extroverted. Not that anybody should, but she aspired because she thought that's what people wanted. But that meant she was having all this anxiety after the fact because she was trying to behave somewhat like someone that she wasn't. So what I really love to see about these types of dialogues is, firstly, we need to get rid of the complication about what introversion is. It's just how you draw your energy. That is it. And there is both positives and negatives, just like there is positives and negatives to being extroverted or introverted, and they're just skills gaps. What I do like to see, though, especially as we start to look at this tangled mess, is a lot of times we have schools that say that Johnny needs to get better at being more extroverted. And so the problem starts there, but it then gets worse and worse and worse as we don't get high, we don't even get looked at for management positions, perhaps because we're introverted, perhaps because we're seen as a mad black, you know, pick your gender, pick your cultural issue, pick anything, but all of a sudden that then has a problem. And all of this leads to two problems. One is, as organizations and schools, how much responsibility should we take and how can we start to fix that situation? And then from the other side, as an introverted black woman, as a introverted white male, as anything, or as an Hispanic extrovert that can't stop talking and has trouble with active listening, how do you take responsibility for it? Because if you're jumping from organization to organization because they're not giving you the opportunities, the only thing you can really change is yourself. So if you're trying to navigate this situation and dealing with many of these issues of inclusion, not just introversion, what advice would you give to organizations and what advice would you give to the person that, regardless of the organization that they work for, is at the mercy of the decisions that those organizations make?
Let me start with the person, and this is a great conversation and a great question. You have to find your way. It touched me talking about the woman, as you mentioned, who is basically fueling her own anxiety, trying to be someone that she's not. And I think that this is common. I think there are lots of people who don't realize that they're introverts, and I've run into quite a few as well. And once they make this realization and understanding, they start to do things a little differently. Because I believe it is a superpower. I do believe that we have things that others do not have. And so we have to figure out how to use those best to our ability. So it is our responsibility to, when we go into a company, we now know what's on our head. I feel like I know when I come in, there's going to be the stigma tied to my introversion. I do not need to say I'm an introvert. And I don't say it typically because people don't understand it. And I think that would block you from even getting in the door. So if I'm interviewing, what I will do is talk about my style. And I will ask, what are the expectations? So if I'm just like my job now, so I'm working for I report to the president. And I asked his style, what was his expectations? And I talked about my style without ever saying the word introvert. And I talked about how I excel in one-on-ones and I ask lots of questions and I may send you an email at 1 a.m. because the way my brain processes, ideas may come to me later. I explain how I may be in a conference room. I can present, but I need time to prepare. If I have no time to prepare, I can present, but you won't get the best Jerry as if you had given me an agenda or given me an idea or something a day before that I could really plan and think through. Because I'm going to do my research. I'm a detailed person. I'm organized of all of these things. And so I'm teaching him how to treat me and how to get the best out of me. And so I urge introverts to do the same. Now, you're already in a position, and so you haven't had this conversation. There are still ways that you can shine your light. If you're a better writer than a speaker, write the best damn email that you can. And all of the justification and all the points and all of the thoughts that you have that are going to support this decision that will push forward with the mission or whatever you're trying to do and organize it in your way, do that. And then sit down with your manager or whoever needs to see it and walk them through it. Explain it. Send it to them. Let them process it. And then explain it. So what are you great at? If you're a great writer, use that. If you are maybe an artist or have a creative flair, but say you're working in a business, you're not there as an artist. But if you're an illustrator or something, why not present the problem or present using your illustration? You can let your light shine through that way and you will be seen differently. That's something unique that no one else will do. If other people are up presenting for 10 minutes and you get up with this illustration or this animation or this song or this poem or something, and I am not saying that you can use this in a law firm. You need to understand where you are and understand your audience. So if you know that's not going to fly, now that'll fly at a university, or it depends on the type of work environment. That might not fly in a law firm. It might not fly with the CEO of the hospital. And so you have to figure out, knowing your audience and your strengths, how you can shine your light, because there definitely is a way. Another thing I think introverts need to do, we are the best listeners and observers. We don't miss a thing. We see everything. So while everybody else is busy talking and moving around, take your notes on what you observe. And then when you get later on, talk to the decision maker and let them know about the body language that you observed, the social cues, whatever you're watching in the news or whatever you're reading, and tie it in and tie in those trends so you can show your value that way instead of trying to masquerade as an extrovert and show it another way. You can ask the most insightful questions. If you ask the right question in a boardroom, or people will think you're brilliant. And we have those insightful questions because we're in our heads. We're thinking things through. We're in our inner world. And so ask those questions. And it also is a way that you can be vocal, because a lot of introverts hear, we want you to talk more. We want you to speak up more. Do it in a question. So there are, I feel like, a few tips, things like that that we can do. But you have to figure out, what is that special thing that you have? What does your family come to you for? What do your friends come to you for? Are you the planner? So for the vacations, they say, okay, Jerry, you plan it. Why? It's because you're good at it. So if you don't know what it is, you have to figure out what it is. And there is a way that you can bring it into the work environment. And on the other hand, for the companies, I just need people to just see us. Everyone's out shouting to the rooftops that, you know, all of this DEI, and you really need to see us. Don't just say it, but see us. And create environments that will help us thrive. Let's think differently about these meetings. Let's make sure that we have an agenda, and not just an agenda before the meeting that says 5 bullet points. What are your outcomes? What are you looking to get out of this meeting? You will get so much more out of your introverts if a day or two before you say, at the end of this meeting, I hope to have X, Y, and Z. That will give your introverts some time to think about it. Give them also the opportunity, how can they get that information to you? Can they email it to you? Can they present it there? What, give us some options. And I think that also, back to the bottom line, get the most out of all of your employees. Your employee, you're hired, you're paying for all of us. So get what you can. And that one little thing, which I think is so simple, I think is invaluable. Of course, the open office spaces, those suck. Nobody wants that, to be in a room. I shouldn't say that. Some people love it because, as we know, they thrive off the energy of the other bodies and beings. But understand, do you have an empty office that you could book as a, call it whatever you want, a think tank or whatever, and have a space, if your introverts are in cubicles, have a space where a person could go and recharge or meditate and just sit and be still. With the work from home environment, with the sheltering in place, most of the introverts I know thrived. You know why? It was because we could build our own environment. We could control our lighting, our temperature, when we eat, what we eat, if we want to take a break to step outside. And so I noticed, and in the conversations with my friends, we thrived in that versus our extroverted friends, who many had a struggle. They had a hard time being alone or just being in the home with their family and not energizing with others. So I think that companies need to learn from that. What was their productivity like during shelter in place? Did it go through the roof? Did their introverts rock it out? How was it? And so what can they do to bring that into the workspace, whether it's a hybrid environment or whatever? But I just urge companies to just really mean what they say when they talk about inclusivity. And it's not just about including people of color. It is about including personality types, sexual orientation, who you love, where you love. It's about including all of that and trying to celebrate and honor the differences as well as the commonalities. That was a long, long answer to that question.
It was a double-ended question, though, so I knew it was going to take a while to answer. But it was an important answer, though, because I think for a lot of people, it's so easy to point the finger and say they should be doing it, whether it's the corporation saying the staff member should be doing it or vice versa. And I think we all have a lot to learn, because for me, I'm forever telling CEOs or senior leaders that if you are having a meeting and you like Sarah to speak up in the meeting, don't get resent her because she doesn't. Send her what the agenda is going to be and highlight that you're hoping Sarah can talk about this specific point because she's always got great ideas about these things, and this is where you're really hoping that she contributes. Nobody's going to have an issue with that. But then on the other hand, Sarah, who gets frustrated constantly getting asked a question on the fly, never having an answer, could also say, hey, you know, to her boss, I noticed that we've got a meeting on the books for tomorrow. We haven't got really a set agenda, and I'd love to reflect on what we're going to be talking about so I can make sure we keep the meeting on point, or so I can make sure I give the most value. Can you provide me the agenda? So as organizations, we all need to get better at helping our leaders better manage our introverts, or if we're introverted leaders, perhaps helping our other introverted staff members become more successful, and even perhaps helping our extroverted staff members not just talk out loud because they've got an idea if it's not potentially a well-formed, thought-out idea. So planning wins in everything that we do. But we have to learn that there are things we can do ourselves and things organizations should be doing. But we can't rely on an organization to do it. And we also can't rely on our staff members to step up just because we put those opportunities there, because for the longest time, they've been taught that introversion is a bad thing. And I know that when we all started bringing out these tests, it was like we qualified people as introverted and go, oh, so that's it, your career's over, right? You're in that safe job where no one could hurt you for the rest of your life. And that's the last thing that we want. So I think that, and it was interesting, I did this survey for the AAISP Leadership Summit, which is all the senior leaders for all the major sales companies or corporations' sales teams. And I just asked whether they're introverted or extroverted. And the number of responses of, oh, I was introverted, but don't worry, I'm not anymore. And that just speaks to the fact that everybody still knows it's a bad thing.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with being an introvert, just like there's nothing wrong with being an extrovert, just like there's nothing wrong with being of any certain gender, culture, religion. It's just there are things that make us unique. And as organizations, we need to get past that homogenous group and get out of groupthink. Otherwise, we won't be able to be as competitive moving forward. And remembering that if you think that introverts can't do small talk, Oprah Winfrey, Ellen DeGeneres, David Letterman introverted. Think they can't network? Ivan Meiser, the founder of BNI, the world's largest networking group in the world, introverted, can't sell? Zig Ziglar was an introvert. We've got to start breaking these barriers. And what I love, and it's really interesting, like all of these barriers that we're breaking in gender, race, these are all relatively new conversations when you think about careers and organizations or small business owners as a whole. This is all relatively new stuff. So it's okay that we don't get it yet and we're figuring it out, but we have to remember not to project onto people. And yes, I'm very comfortable talking about my introversion. I keep trying to get, during National Introverts Week this year, I sent out all these images saying, surprise, I'm an introvert, or I'm a proud introvert. And I didn't put any branding on it because I wanted it to just be about them, not about me. And yet there were some people that were scared to post that because they were worried that their organization would see that as a bad thing. We have to stop all of this from happening. And I'm so glad we can talk about it from an introversion perspective now. Now, the fact that we get to talk about it now is great, but let's face it, you're at a point in your career now where I bet you wished that we started talking about it before you were born. And then perhaps things would have been different for you. So I really want to hear a little bit, because there are people listening to this from countries all over the world that perhaps aren't used to hearing this material. As you were growing up, I'd love to know a little bit about how you discovered you were an introvert and when that was, but what you wished perhaps your parents, perhaps your teachers, perhaps your first bosses did differently to perhaps allow you to be your best self, to perhaps be the Zig Ziglar or the Ivan Meisner or the Oprah Winfrey with inside your organization or within your school, to allow you to lean into being your best you.
Yeah, I think that growing up, I had typical parents. My mom was definitely an extreme extrovert and my dad was an introvert before I knew those words. And so mom always wanted to push me to do all the social things that I didn't want to do, whether it's become a cheerleader or just go to different things. And I would go and I would hate some of the things. And then as I got older, my dad would say, she doesn't want to go to bed, leave her alone. And then my mom would. And I always got straight A's, so I didn't have any issues in school. But I did get what you mentioned earlier, where they would say, or the teachers would say, we want Jerry to speak up. She's so smart. We want her to talk more. And my mom never really pushed that, and she was an educator. But one thing that bothered me, or that I noticed early on, was growing up. So I grew up in Chicago on the South Side in a predominantly middle to upper class neighborhood, were two working parents in the households. And I was very comfortable on my porch in our house, in our backyard, playing alone. And my days or summers would consist of playing jacks and solitaire, playing with my Barbies. And the other kids were all around. Sometimes I'd want to play with them, sometimes I wouldn't. But I noticed as I got older, they would call me names. And the names that they would call me were Oreo when I was younger. And Oreo means black on the outside, white on the inside. And I think that is what they just articulated, because they couldn't put their finger on it. Why doesn't she want to hang out with us? Why doesn't she want... Now, I would sometimes, but not all the time, because I didn't need to. I didn't care to. And then as I got older, I noticed I was called bougie. And that's another word that is thrown around often. You think you're too good for us, you think all of this stuff. And it bothered me sometimes, and then sometimes it didn't. And then when I got in my 20s, so this was all through college and all of that, I ended up with the Myers-Briggs at an advertising agency that I worked at. It was in my late 20s. And so that's when I heard the introversion and heard about all of my attributes, and all of those things were just ringing so true to me. And then they group you by your classification. And I was grouped with the coolest, the people that were seen like gods in the ad agency. They were the weirdos. And I loved it because they were the most creative and the most valued. This was in an advertising agency. Very free spirit, very different from obviously a corporate role. And so from there, I just felt different about myself. I think my spirit started to change. And I'm like, I'm not so bad. And people, I attract people like magnets, and people will tell me about how I bring a sense of calm and I bring all these things that they are missing and needing. And I'm told this as I'm being promoted and going through my career. I'm being commended for all of these things that were held against me when I was younger. So I lean into them more. And so now I'm very confident in my introversion. As I talk about it daily, I lead with it. And the point behind it is to same with you. I'm trying to change the narrative. I think that we've come a long way. Like you said, I wish there were people out here talking about it when I was a little girl. There weren't, but right now that's our responsibility, or I feel like it's my responsibility to do that. So we've come a long way, but there still is a lack of understanding as people I'll meet and we'll talk about, I'll bring up introversion or something, and they'll say, Jerry, you're not an introvert. And I'll say, I'm totally an introvert. And then my next question is, what do you think an introvert is? And then that leads to and gives me an opening to educate, because they're like, oh, introverts hate people. And you go to stuff and you go to the movies and you go, I saw you out at dinner last week. Yeah, because that's not what an introvert is. So we still have a long way to go. But I do think my advice to parents would be to, same thing I just said for the introvert in the working place. What is it that kid loves to do? Give them more of it. You may have four kids and one wants to be a musician, one's an athlete, one is reading books, one's an artist. And so what you try to do, right, is nurture that one thing that you see that they love. Even though you give all the kids the same attention you're supposed to and the same love, but you notice that this kid loves basketball, so you're going to give them every opportunity, send them to the basketball camp, do all of that. And so I want people to think about the saying, when they notice their quieter kid, don't try to make that quiet kid do something they don't want to do. Don't try to make that kid play basketball. Don't try to make that kid do something. Find out what they love to do and nurture it and give them as much of it as that she possibly can. And I love that you mentioned the famous introverts, because that's another thing I hit here is with, Oprah's an introvert. And people are blown away. And we can go down the list, like Mark Zuckerberg and Bill Gates and Warren Buffett. There's so many, the most powerful people in the world. Now, Barack Obama has never said it, but everyone around him has said it, are introverts and people who are highly creative and really smart. And that seems to be attracted to parents when I'm talking to them about. So Oprah even talks about how all she did was read. Okay, what's the worst that can happen when all you do is read? That is, it's not like you're going to have a horrible life. Let's see what that blossoms into and see how you can support it. So we have a lot more work to do, but I am really enjoying talking about this and I feel empowered, and I want to share that with others. And as well as educate, because it's funny how I'm surrounded by extroverts, which I don't know if that's the case with you, but I have two introvert friends very close, and everybody else around me is extroverted, and they're it's like a magnet, and they will compliment me on what they get from me, even though I'm not the talkative busybody, but they are getting something from me. And same thing, even with my work relationships, I always tend to work for an extrovert. I don't know why, but it's always a great balance. I'm not complaining. I love my bosses, most of them, but it's a great relationship and a great balance. And that's another thing companies need to know. You don't need a team of all extroverts. You may not need a team of all introverts. You need a combo, because while the extrovert may be the showman and taking risks and doing all those cool things, that introvert is, hold up, wait a minute. Let's look at the data. Let's think about this. Let's not jump so quick. Let's talk about this. You need both. So that's another thing that I think companies need to hear. And the best salespeople, I think, are introverts.
Yeah, they may not be bragging about it quite as much. That's the trouble sometimes. And I think you see that in all positions. It's a lot of times, it's not the people that are doing something that get promoted. It's the people that are telling people about the things that they're doing that are getting the promotion. And this is what I see happen time and time again in global organizations, is they keep losing staff, which costs a fortune to replace. And sometimes you have to hire two people to replace one introvert that did the work, just because those people are going off to greener pastures. And the problem is that greener pasture isn't greener. We talk about the great resignation. We talk about people leaving and not being as loyal as they used to. But a lot of times that's a staff member feeling like their bosses, their employers are letting them down, not giving them that opportunity, not recognizing them, but going to another employer where the same thing happens over and over again, because they're also not learning skills. And in order to learn how to do those things. So I think it's so important from both perspectives that people learn how to do it. And for those people, just in case we didn't say it loud enough, don't lean into becoming more extroverted. If you're an introvert, that is not the path for you. If you're a parent listening to this and you have an introverted child, you're not going to help them be successful by teaching them how to be more extroverted. Like for me, I learned to sell because it was a thing that I needed to do. It was important to me at the time. Then I wanted to run my own businesses and I learned those skills. But if I had have had extroverted skill sets pushed upon me when I was younger, then I probably would have never done those things, because I didn't learn how to do it the extroverted way. That wouldn't have worked for me, but it would have convinced me that I couldn't do it. And that would have been a lesson that I would have been ingrained in me for life. So please take this as duty of care if you're a parent. And if for those people that are introverted yourself, you've got to learn to let go of all of those things that perhaps you thought you couldn't do because other people tried to get you to do it in a way that perhaps wasn't built for your personality type. But take advantage of the fact that there are now strategies, and not just by people with the word introvert on the cover of their book, but other introverts all over the world, like the people we mentioned, and there are so many others that are introverted, they just don't stamp it on their books. And that's why we love doing podcast interviews like this, to really share the stories of other introverts that are making a difference in the world, whether they're talking about the topic of introversion or whether they're just titans of industry that just so happen to be introverted. But Jerry, we're going to have to finish up this interview, and I hope for everybody that's listening, you've got as much out of this as I have. I finish all of my interviews with the same question, because as I said to you beforehand, I feel that most people look at introversion as a disadvantage, a burden that we have to bear. And I believe it's an edge. And I love the fact that you said that you believe it's an advantage as well. But what I try to do is put a spotlight on what those advantages are. What would you consider your introvert's edge to be?
I think that I see things that others don't see, and I'm able to connect it in a way that it works to my advantage, whether it's in the workplace or a partnership or whatever it is. And I'm putting all of this together and creating a world, a place, a space, something that will help move something forward. I'm kind of talking in circles. Even just now, just a few minutes ago, I'm working on a project, and I reached out to a media partner, and I said, knowing his audience, he's a sales guy and he's an introvert, knowing his audience, knowing the demographics of his station and all of that, I'm pitching this idea, and it has now turned into this huge I'll say amazing things that are about to happen. And it's just because I think I'm seeing and knowing what he wants. I'm seeing and knowing what we want. I'm seeing and knowing what the middle person wants. And I'm able to make us all collaborate and create a big, beautiful thing. It's a win-win. So it's also connecting. So I think seeing things that other people don't see and making connections. And that's probably something that people who don't understand introversion wouldn't get. And I've been complimented that on that many years about how, so I'm gonna, now that I've met you, I need you, because I'm listening to and remembering what somebody else said, I'm gonna connect because there's synergy. And I want you to work together because I think there's something there. So it's not one word, but that's, I think, my secret sauce, my edge.
No, I think that's really powerful, because when we talk about extroverts, we talk about the fact that they're gregarious and that they just have something to say. But there are lots of other strengths for being an extrovert as well. And I think what happens is We think that we need to summarize those advantages. What I heard was you use empathy to almost be a mind reader to see connection points that most people don't normally see.
That sounds so much better than what I just said. Yes.
This is the important thing about having this dialogue on shows like this, because people listening, you need to know you have an introvert's edge. You may not know how to articulate. Sometimes you might need to talk it out with somebody else. And it's much easier for someone that's not in your head to see what it is with you, but you have to start the process of explaining it. And I would really urge people to lean into the fact that they are introverted. There's nothing wrong with that. You're not a second-class citizen. There are real strengths to being it, and there is no boundaries to what you can achieve. And if your organization, you feel, is putting up a boundary, take responsibility for that, and you push that change. Whether we talked about gender, we talked about race today, there was always somebody that said in an organization, enough is enough, I'm going to make it difficult for people to not take me seriously or for not giving me that opportunity. I'm going to educate people, and you in an organization should do the same, especially if you're thinking about leaving because they're not giving you the opportunity. Maybe their lack of education on the topic of introversion is causing that. Before you quit and go and cause that same situation for yourself somewhere else, because most organizations can be the same. Not all, there are some great ones, but you can go searching for that one. You could change jobs 7 times. Or you could push a change within your organization and actually help them realize what introversion is and how to leverage your strengths. And you might find that leads you to positions that were just outside your reach beforehand. And I would love to see that happen. And I'd love for you to share when that happens, how it happened, and what surprised you. But for today, Jared, I really appreciate you being on and being so open to sharing. If people are just hearing about your content for the first time and they want to go deeper into any of the topic matter that we discussed or other things that you work on, where would you suggest people go to find out more about you?
So they can go to my website, which is hushloudly.com, or follow me on Instagram, which is hushloudly, or reach out to me personally at jd@hushloudly.com, because I love to have conversations with people, with companies, more on this topic.
That's terrific. Thank you very much for joining us. And to everyone that's listening along, or watching along, I should say, because I'm not sure what medium you're using. See, that's the classic introvert overthinking things. I so appreciate you joining us, and I hope that you got value from the show. I'm sure that you did. Jerry's advice definitely had an impact on me, and I can't wait to share it with others. So please share the word about this podcast, and please take a second to do what introverts do great and reflect on this episode and how you can make change inside your workplace, inside your own business. And until then, I look forward to seeing you in the next episode. Cheers, everyone. I'm Matthew Pollard, the author of The Introvert's Edge to Networking. I'm on a mission to help introverts to be proud of who we are. For the first time, you'll learn a process for networking that feels comfortable and authentic to you as an introvert. A process that doesn't feel salesy or awkward in any way.
I saw at least half of my board members, 3 in particular that I can think of, that now are so comfortable in literally going up to people at events. All of a sudden, I can see the confidence.
Most of the networking books and literature out there really focus on hardcore tactics designed for extroverts. As introverts, we're different, and we need to embrace that. We need a system that allows us to channel our natural introverted strengths into the networking room. You will learn how to be successful at face-to-face networking and a masterful online networker on your terms.
It's beautifully written, and it provides tremendous value. So I am honored to say, folks, if you haven't looked at the book, you really need to check out this guy's book. It's excellent.
It gives you that confidence to truly be yourself, knowing that you're going to be presenting yourself in a way that is authentic and will also really resonate with the person that you're talking with.
One of the things you'll love about The Introvert's Edge to Networking is it's jam-packed full of more than 20 stories of introverts just like you. People that have likely started in much tougher spots than where you are right now, and how they've leveraged the strategies that you'll be learning to obtain phenomenal career and small business success.
I was about to give up on my business. The results started coming in right away. In fact, a year later, the Chamber of Commerce awarded me the Business of the Year.
You need to go read his book because everything he does is what people need, whether they're an introvert or not.
I've been fortunate to receive endorsements from some exceptional introverts like Neil Patel and Ivan Meisner, the founder of the world's largest networking group, BNI.
What I love about The Introvert's Edge is that it talks about the things that make an introvert successful.
The Introvert's Edge to Networking is going to destroy all of the barriers that you have around whether success in networking is possible for you.
Now I'm up to kind of five figures, you know, triple my prices or more.
It was like the deals just kept coming in and coming in, and it was incredible. Like, I had never seen anything like it before.
I was able to triple my revenue, and that happened within 6 months.
We've gone from 10 million a year to 20 million a year.
I wrote The Introvert's Edge to Networking after the success of the first in the Introvert's Edge series, which focused on sales. I decided that it was just as important, perhaps even more so, that we had a networking book that was designed to help us as introverts dominate in the networking room and in online networking that was specifically written for us. So if you're an introvert, don't delay. Head to theintrovertsedge.com/networking to get access to the first chapter of my new book completely for free today.